I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man, that was fun. That was mean, but it was required. You know, you got to give their defense credit too, man. We didn't do much on the offensive side. It was one of those hard defensive battles, and maybe a player or two in teams were going to be the difference. I thought we stood up in that area.
And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole, live and local here from the Green Tree Studios, 504, on yet another Victory Monday morning for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. I'll be taking you all through this 17-12 victory for the Steelers over the LA Rams, a game in which, I mean, it feels like almost after every victory so far this year, you say, wow, that's a big win. Wow, that's a big win. Well, this is a really big win, maybe besides the Dolphins earlier this year. But every one of these, and just climbing back and clawing back to make this season relevant again, the Steelers continue to do it and continue to get these big wins along the way. And last night, yet another one over the LA Rams in a game that starts with a fumbled snap and a touchdown for the Rams. Just about as poorly as it could have gone, as I said in the update. It is, I don't know why every game, it seems like, starts just about as bad as it could with Mason Rudolph in there. You know, I don't think that one was necessarily his fault, as it was more on Pouncey and just skying it way over his head. But it seems like just about every game they dig themselves a hole right away. And a credit to Mason Rudolph for dealing with those kinds of things and generally bouncing back as the game goes on. And he mentioned about staying positive and something that he's learned from way back in his football days.
Since high school, my head coach always talked about playing the next play and, you know, not allowing yourself to go in the tank, you know, at any point in the game because of, you know, bad play early on, put it behind you, wipe the, you know, the slate clean and keep, because obviously, you know, your body language is going to mean a lot to, you know, in the huddle and, you know, the offense, the team.
Yeah, I know they're professionals, and I know things happen, and they've learned to get over things and face adversity along the way to get to the NFL. But those are big moments where, as a young quarterback, I think he could let things get inside his head a little bit. And every time that things have been a disaster to start the game, I don't think Mason Rudolph has ever crumbled. He had the home crowd at one point booing him against Miami and booing the offense, and eventually came back against that Dolphins defense, although, you know, it's the Dolphins. But I thought in that first quarter, he made a few big throws on that scoring drive. It was a third, there was a third and seven in there where he stepped up in the pocket and he found Deontay Johnson along the far sideline for a first down. That was big. A second and eight on that drive as well. It was a pass across the middle of the field to James Washington. And then the fade in the back of the end zone, the short side to James Washington for the touchdown there. I'm not sure if that was a better pass or just an incredible adjustment to the ball by Washington. I think it was more of the latter, where Washington keeps his feet in bounds as well, which was just incredible. The first of many times that James Washington answered the bell for Juju going against Jalen Ramsey, who fared himself a little bit better than I thought he would. But James Washington coming through there with that big catch. And those are three kinds of throws from Mason Rudolph that I don't think he showed against Indianapolis. Right there on that scoring drive. Just going across the middle, hitting tight windows, and then leaving it up, putting a ball in a place where only a receiver can go up and get it for that touchdown pass. Those are three big throws from Mason Rudolph that in his continued progression throughout this year and the continued evaluation of him, which it will be throughout the rest of this regular season, those were very, very good signs early on. And then, of course, Watt, Dupree, and Hayward combined on two sacks and drives in the second quarter when it was 7-7. Those three, just dominant. Dominant again. They show up at big times in these games in a crazy sequence at the end of the first half there with Washington with a catch and run, a long catch and run, and then a fumble at the end there. And then Hargrave comes through and gets to Jared Goff's arm to cause the fumble. And it's a heads-up play by Minkah Fitzpatrick. A lot of players in the league, I think, and even maybe on this team, when that ball is going up in the air and drops in front of him on the ground, maybe they aren't aware enough to have even seen what happened. Maybe their head isn't, you know, in the right place. They're not looking at the ball. They didn't just see what happened there. They're not exactly paying attention to the hit and how that ball got there. And to pick up that ball and run with it right away, it's just another piece of the game awareness that Minkah Fitzpatrick brings to this defense that he's brought from day one in his ability to make plays. And a huge swing, obviously, in that first half to go up 14-7 and to get that defensive touchdown before the first half ended. And to begin that second half, or maybe early on in the second half, maybe not to begin, but I didn't think that I would see a worse play or a worse idea this year than having Jalen Samuels throw a pass out of the Wildcat for the rest of the year. I thought, you know what, that's probably the dumbest play I'm going to see this year, with having your running back throw a football deep in your own territory, and that was against the Ravens. But here come the Rams from their own 29, 28-yard line with a fake punt and having the punter throw the football on your own 29-yard line. And what's worse than a running back throwing the football? Oh, yeah, punter in the second half, too, with 8:30 left in the third. Oh, my gosh, unbelievably boneheaded. And I can't believe that Sean McVay would call something like that and feel good about running a fake punt there deep in your own territory. And a punter being a quarterback in high school or college or wherever he was or not, he's a punter. And give me a break here. From there, I thought the defense for the Steelers held when it needed to. Made some big, big third down stops. And I believe they were 1 of 14, the Rams were, on third down for that game. I mean, the coverage down the field was really impressive. These Rams receivers, no slouches. Cooper Kupp completely held off of the score sheet. Reynolds was there, Woods, Everett. I mean, these are big-time weapons, and the Steelers secondary held them in check throughout the entire game. And I thought maybe it was the best performance overall by that secondary. And just to go through some individual performances that stuck out for me, I thought Terrell Edmonds, probably his best game. It's not saying a whole lot, but I thought he was pretty tight in coverage. He broke up a pass on that fourth down to end the game there, and he looks just about as comfortable maybe as he's ever been, and he's looking a little bit faster. Again, not a great game from him, and I think that's more of an indictment on his career so far, but at least there's some improvement there from Terrell Edmonds. On the other side, Jared Goff, he didn't impress me much. Throughout the game, at different points, I thought Mason Rudolph looked like he was the far better quarterback than Jared Goff. I think he really didn't prove himself very well and has probably taken a step back this year. I'm not sure what to attribute that to. Probably the running game that they really, it was effective when they went to it, but they didn't go to it all that often with Todd Gurley, who's clearly hurt. I mean, and that's just a crappy situation for them. They just paid the guy, and they can only rely on him for so many carries a game, you know, regardless of the results there. They can only go to him so much. So Jared Goff, I thought he was played a really poor game. Jalen Samuels, they need James Conner back immediately, as soon as possible. I mean, the Steelers haven't been good in run blocking, but 42 yards rushing on the day and just 29 from Samuels on 14 carries. It's just not going to get it done in the long run, and they need James Conner back ASAP. Juju Smith-Schuster, another drop to begin this game. I think he's a guy that just needs volume. He just needs to stay active. He just needs more targets thrown his way, and I think we've seen that throughout the year. Maybe he's just not the same guy when he only gets a limited amount of balls thrown to him, and he's that rhythm receiver. And I thought Diontae Johnson and James Washington are kind of battling it out for number two now. Does it matter? Should it matter? Who's the number two target behind Juju Smith-Schuster? Probably not. But James Washington coming on his best game probably of his career with 6 catches for 90 yards and that touchdown. He was clearly the best receiver out there for the Steelers yesterday. And he's come on the past 2 weeks now. Maybe I thought Deontay Johnson was going to emerge as the number two, but he had a drop in this game as well. It was kind of ugly in that sense where the Steelers were having trouble just holding on to the football. Vance McDonald as well with a fumble. So it gives you some concern for the rest of the year that those receiving options, there's still some shakiness. But again, Dupree, Watt, Hayward, monsters. Mike Tomlin's teams, you say this about this, about Mike Tomlin's teams and about this team, they never quit. They never die. You can, you know, say what you want about Mike Tomlin and the faults that he has and the shortcomings in the playoffs over the last few years, but you can't have a winning season at least, or an 8-8 season every year, and your teams quit on you. That just doesn't happen. And the call to go for it on fourth down deep in your own territory, I think those are the kinds of things that players love. Those are the things that guys love about Mike Tomlin when he shows the confidence in them to go for that fourth down. That's when I think they gain a lot of respect for him. I mean, if that wouldn't have worked, it would have been obviously ugly. But I think him showing the confidence in the team at that point, those are the kinds of things that make players want to play for Mike Tomlin. And so overall, another win and another day where the Steelers continue to save the season, and all of a sudden they're the sixth seed in the AFC playoff picture, and we're looking at the rest of the schedule, and things are looking pretty good. I'll get into that more as I continue here on the Early Morning Show. Coming up next, a quick recap of the late night football, and then as well I have a good minute with Juju, and then a minute with Joe Hayden after the game, and my big three takeaways from this 17-12 victory for the Steelers over the Rams. That's all coming up on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. All right, I'll rip through this here on the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole. Some things that you might have missed from last night. We'll start first with late night football.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Vikes, Cowboys last night, and the Cowboys, every time you start to believe in them, every time you start to think that they're, I don't know, there's always the national talk shows, and we'll always say that the Cowboys are NFC contenders, and maybe they are just because their division is so bad, because the Eagles can't get out of their own way, and then the Giants and Redskins are just awful, so they'll end up in the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to go very far, and I think it's showed last night in the 28-24 loss to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, 220 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Dalvin Cook, yet another great game from him, 97 yards and a touchdown there. Can't really blame this one on Dak Prescott as they continue to evaluate whether or not they're going to pay him. He had 397 yards and three touchdowns and a pick, so it wasn't necessarily on him last night that Dallas lost that game, but they do fall to the Vikings. They're now 5-4 on the year. The Vikings are 7-3 in what continues to be just a really top-heavy NFC there, which is completely different from the AFC, which is just a jumbled mess and continues to be a jumbled mess, but one that the Steelers are right in, fortunately for them. But let's get to a couple of minutes here post-game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we'll first start with Joe Hayden. Here's a minute of Joe Hayden post-game.
You know, Minka always seems to be in the right place at the right time. How do you explain that?
I mean, he's living right. He's always, you know, he's always in the right positions. And I told him, I passed him two picks. I had one to San Fran, and I gave him one today. But he's always in good position. You know, it's something to say that the tip balls just don't hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? So he's always around there being able to get them. So I'm just happy he was there.
It seems like the whole defense changed in the right place at the right time. What was working well for
him? A little bit of everything, man. We were just on top of our communication. We understood that they have a very explosive offense. They have really good weapons. And we need to play at the top of our game to win. So the communication was on point. Gurley had a couple runs, but we just never panicked. Every time we always reset. It's first down, win first down, win second down, get them in third downs, and I think we did really, really good today on third down.
Yeah, again, really good today on third downs, 1 of 14. I think that's pretty good for the Pittsburgh Steelers on third downs, a big key to this game, and just keeping them out of the end zone the entire day. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, a quick minute of him post-game. Here's Juju.
We ain't got to say no more about defense. They played their butt off. They've been playing their butt off, and they've just been doing unbelievable things that, you know, what they're meant to do. And they came out today, they played and balled for us. You know, they honestly, I think they said losing this game.
How fun was the matchup with Ramsey today for you?
It was cool, man. He talks a lot. He talks so much. He said so many cuss words I've never heard of. And I'm 22 years old. But, I mean, he's a good player, man. It's a lot different than him being, you know, at Jacksonville where he's able to do whatever he wants. And over here, he has to pretty much, like, do what he's told, you know. He has to listen to Weddles, you know. So it's different, you know. But it was a great experience. I wish I got more balls, you know, thrown at us. But it's hard, you know, when you're in double team.
Did you do the fourth down play? I mean, how gutsy was it for you guys to do that late in the game on your own team?
Yeah, super, super gutsy. I mean, like I said, you know, Coach Randy calls a play. You know, Coach G says, go for it. And that's what we do. You know, we go out there, we execute the play, and, you know, it worked out the way we wanted to work out. And, you know what, like I said, that drive put points on the board and helped us out a lot.
So there you go. Juju Smith-Schuster ends up with 3 catches for 44 yards on the day. About what I expected, honestly, going up against Jalen Ramsey, and really a tough assignment for Juju. And he's had the kind of year where he's gone up against these number one cornerbacks and maybe hasn't performed up to what people expect. But how about him? Every once in a while, he's got to remind us that he's 22 years old and pretending like he hasn't heard every swear word in the book at this point in his life. But yeah, every once in a while, just reminding us how young that he really is in this league. And that is true. He's in his third year and he's the number one receiver in the league at 22 years old. Maybe sometimes we kind of forget that perspective whenever he's only catching 3 balls for 44 yards. And luckily for him, James Washington coming through and stepping up in his absence. I think he came up in just a really, really big way for the Steelers offensively, with Juju being eliminated almost from this game entirely. Coming up next, big 3 takeaways from the Steelers' big win over the Rams at 17-12 yesterday. That's on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 528. At 7 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, we'll have Ed Bouchette join the show. And then a quick check-in with Jeff Capel at 8:30 today, as Pitt dropped an ugly one to Nicholls State. So who knows what kind of mood Coach will be in whenever he joins the show at 8:30 today. Hopefully he'll be calmed down after that loss. But that's all coming up on the way on the Fan Morning Show today. But for right now, my big 3 takeaways from the Steelers' win over the LA Rams. Let's fire it up. Here we go. Number 1 for me, I can, at least, I don't know about you, but I now consider this defense one of the best in the NFL. It wasn't there quite yet for me before. Maybe you had come to that conclusion earlier this season and just watching them go at it, but I was afraid to do it until this moment. This was a legitimate offense coming in with legitimate weapons and a legitimate head coach behind it all with the LA Rams. Coming off a bye week in desperation mode in the NFC West when they're trying to play catch up to the Seahawks and the 49ers. I know they were a West Coast team coming East Coast, but this Steelers defense continues to wreak havoc no matter what the opponent and who the opponent, and with that pass rush, and they continue to create turnovers. And what can you say about Minkah Fitzpatrick? Being in the right place at the right time with the awareness to make the right play, those are all kinds of things that we said whenever we were watching Troy Polamalu do the same from the safety position, of when he was going out there and just making plays and was always there at the right time. Even the third down stop and the pass breakup on Cooper Kupp at the end of the third to force a field goal to make it 14-10 Steelers. And then the pick to seal it was just him showing off at that point at the end of the game. There's so much different and so much, so refreshing, I think, to see a playmaker in the back end of a defense again for the Steelers. That's an element that's really, it's hard to find in this league, and teams pay up a lot to get that. And that's evidence that it's hard to find in the league. I mean, we've gone over, you know, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade as compared to others in the league, with even the Rams. You look at who they just played for Jalen Ramsey, 2 first-rounders. The Jets wanted the same thing for Jamal Adams when they floated him out there at the trade deadline, their playmaking safety. And I know that social media likes to kind of poke fun at Steelers fans for celebrating everything that Minkah Fitzpatrick does. You know, if he, like, rolls out of bed, people celebrate or whatever. But I don't care. I think it's worth celebrating that Minkah Fitzpatrick has come onto this defense and has made such an incredible impact. And that trade just looks better and better and better week after week after week, and is becoming a franchise-altering trade. That first rounder for Minkah Fitzpatrick. That pass rush trio complicates everything for the opposition with Hayward, Watt, and Dupree. And I think the secondary as a whole played a fantastic game. Best performance in a while from them. Joe Hayden was really, really good. Steve Nelson, another solid performance from him. And even Terrell Edmonds, as I said earlier, made a play. Cooper Kupp, you look at the stat sheet for the LA Rams. You go up and down of who made plays, who made catches for them. Oh, I see Everett, I see Woods, oh, Reynolds, even Higbee on the list here. And then I see four targets for C. Kupp. Four targets, zero receptions. And that was a guy that they identified shutting down before this game, and they did exactly that. Mike Hilton speaks to that.
Kupp was Goff's guy, and you know the plan was to take him away and let his other weapons beat us. And if you want to be honest, I think Kupp maybe had one catch, so didn't have any.
When was the last time that a Steelers secondary goes out and tries to shut down the top guy and actually does it? Actually holds the top receiver without a catch. And they didn't give up a touchdown defensively. I mean, think about that. So this defense for me, I think, is now considered to be one of the elite ones in the league. That was the first takeaway for me. The second, in the season-long evaluation of Mason Rudolph, not a whole lot was new for me. Accuracy problems, I think, are still a real thing that crop up with him. How do you fix that? I don't know. But I'd almost rather him have decision-making issues, because I feel like those are more correctable than to see some accuracy issues with Mason Rudolph. Can't take safeties in back-to-back weeks. You just can't. You can't hold on to the ball for that long. I know that the play call wasn't great and that the line was basically collapsed upon itself, and there were about five dudes right in Mason Rudolph's face before he could even blink. But back-to-back weeks taking a safety in the NFL, that's a red flag there. Got to come up with something to get rid of the ball. That cannot happen. But I did think on the positive side for Mason Rudolph, there were more downfield completions, and as I mentioned in the first segment, balls that were caught by those receivers in plays that weren't just deep balls, plays that weren't just lofting the ball down the field and having a receiver go up and get it. I thought there were more NFL throws from Mason Rudolph yesterday than I saw against Indianapolis last week, and he's fighting through some drops as well, so that kind of skews the numbers a little bit for Mason Rudolph. So the stat line doesn't tell really the whole story, as he ended up with 242 yards passing with 22 of 38. So you can kind of look at that and think, kind of a meh performance from Mason Rudolph. And overall, I thought that was it, but maybe a little bit more promising than the stat line shows. So not a whole lot new for Mason Rudolph in the continued evaluation for him. That's kind of my second takeaway. And the third, they've got me thinking playoffs. This is a playoff caliber defense, as I outlined to begin this segment. And you look at the schedule, there's really no excuse for the Steelers not to win four more games from here. They've got the Browns on Thursday night this week in Cleveland. That's honestly a toss-up. I could see them losing that game only because I think the Browns are still talented and it's a short week, so goofy things can happen. But then you've got the Bengals. Then you've got the Browns at home. Then the Cardinals on the road, Arizona. Then the Bills at home. Then the Jets on the road, and you finish up with Baltimore. So, legitimately, you could probably expect five wins here. Between playing the Browns twice, you've got the Bengals, Cardinals, Bills, and Jets. I don't know what the Ravens are going to be like whenever they get to that point. Maybe they've got the division already wrapped up, and maybe Lamar Jackson doesn't even play in Week 17 when the Steelers go up against the Ravens. But if there's probably any kind of implications for the Steelers, you'd think that the Ravens would put out their starters there. But the rest of the schedule is very favorable for the Steelers, and I think nine wins can come pretty easily, or should come pretty easily, for this team. Is 9 wins going to be good enough for the playoffs? Who knows? But if it's not, 10 wins isn't out of the realm of possibility either. And that's where we sit now at 5-4 with the Steelers after this win at 17-12. So they've got me thinking playoffs. It's right there for the taking. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Black Friday is not just one day, it's every day in November at Sun Chevrolet. Today, occasional afternoon rain, but a high of 52, and then tonight, rain and then snow early. 1 to 2 inches of accumulation and a low of 28. The pre-show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.